Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 55 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today in the studio, I have with me a good friend again, Eric Entz. He recently moved from the States down here, and he's here in the studio. We're just going to be discussing a few things of what we believe. Maybe the Lord has a message for people out there of what is happening right now. What is going on in the world? What is going on in the hearts of men? What is God doing right now in people's lives? And how is what he's doing affecting people? And I can tell you just by my own personal testimony that I feel the temperature being turned up in my life and my family's life and many lives around me right now. And I know the temperature's being just turned up because God's doing a refining work in all of us right now. And I believe that's a part of the preparation of the bride, that he is doing a preparation right now, and he's looking for those that are willing to be prepared. It's not an easy thing to be prepared because you got to go through the fire. The trials of what is going on isn't to destroy us, but is to purge us. And I just want to let Eric just kind of open up a little bit and just share from his heart of what's going on in his life too, because I know he feels like he's in the oven as well. But it's not a bad place, because this is where God's refining fire does its work.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, you know, since we've been here, it's going on over 2 months now, and people ask, well, how is Panama, and how are things going? And if I were to answer that question honestly, I'd have to say it's been very difficult. It's been very hard. And it's not because of the actual destination that we're in, but it's because God has been turning up the heat, and he's been raising the bar in my life of accountability. He's been dealing with my heart about things. I've had to do a lot of repenting in my life. And really, in hindsight, looking at the way things have been going, I really see that he's been wanting to get my attention and prepare my heart so that I would be able to hear his voice and receive some of the things he had to tell me. So, you know, it's been a very challenging time. We've encountered, pretty heavy warfare being here, but I see it's because God was wanting to get us to a place of brokenness, where we could hear him clearly and receive the word that he had for us. So, you know, God takes us through different seasons in our life to accomplish different things. And in the end, it's all so that we can be more like him. It's so that we can be a reflection of him. When people see us, they see Jesus, and that we act like him, we talk like him, and we are his hands and his feet and his voice. So ultimately, that's the reason why he does what he does. But I know we go through different seasons in our lives so that he can accomplish different things in us. And sometimes we bring some of that heat on ourselves by bad choices in our life, and then we reap the consequences of it. So
that's right. Yeah, I just want to make a correction here. This is actually program number 56. Time flies. So if you're listening by shortwave radio, this is program number 56. If you want to re-listen to the program on the S4TJ link on Strength for the Journey. You know, Eric, you're exactly right. We all go through seasons of trials and tribulations and things that go on in our life, but what I'm concerned about is many times people just blame everything on the devil, and they're shaking their fists at the heavens, you know, thinking they're fighting spiritual warfare, and actually it's God's hand trying to reveal some things in our hearts and in our lives that he wants us to deal with. And as long as we're blaming on the devil, then it's not going to change anything. And I think about what happened to Adam in the garden. The first thing when God brought about his sin in front of him and exposed it, what did he do? The first thing he did was blame his wife. And he actually blamed God too, because it's the woman that you gave me. And what does the woman do? Well, I think I'll follow your lead, Adam. It was the devil, you know, that made me do it. And we got to actually realize that a lot of things that happen in our life are because it's already inside of us. It's already there. The scripture that comes to my mind is in Mark, and it's chapter 7, verse 20, and it says, "That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." So these things are just symptoms of what something is already inside of our heart. And when we have these issues coming out, it's supposed to be a flag, a warning flag. Hey, there's something down inside you. I remember when I first got saved and I had a foul mouth. And I was reading the Bible. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I kind of looked down inside my heart, I go, ooh, I mean, that stuff is inside my heart. And I realized it's just a symptom of what's inside of us, what's abundant inside of us. And instead of blaming everybody else for what's coming out of it, well, I wouldn't be mad if you didn't make me mad. I wouldn't have done this if the situation had not arose. So these are things that God is revealing, I believe, with the heat, the temperature that's being turned up in many people's lives. I know my life is to reveal what's inside of me already, and I have to deal with it. And I believe what the Lord was showing me is that when He turns up the heat, it's like we become liquid. The dross comes up to the top, and we have to humble ourselves and be broken enough to allow Him to scoop the stuff off of us, release it, let it go, repent of it, and let it go, and let Him scrape it off our lives. Because what happens is once the heat is turned back down again, those things, if they're not released, will harden back inside of us. And that means that condition then becomes almost more set in stone. Rather than us being released of that issue in our life, it actually becomes hardened inside of our heart.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You know, the Bible says that God disciplines those whom He loves, and it also says that we would be illegitimate if we did not receive correction and discipline from our Father. And so that's a sign. You know, sometimes we go through adversity and we wonder why. You know, but that's actually, you know, if it's not a result of sin, but, you know, God is disciplining us and He's chastening us and He's turning up the heat, it's because He loves us and He wants to work those things out of us. And I'll tell you right now, when we're in the heat, it's miserable. We want to get out of it. We want to do whatever it takes to get out of it. And a lot of times we can't see 2 feet in front of us when we're going through it. We just want relief. But relief is not, you know, we'll eventually get relief, but it's going to be God's way and His timing. And so the answer is not the change of circumstances in our life. If I can only get out of this situation, if I can only, you know, get this and everything would be okay. It's no, Jesus is the answer. So what He wants us to do in the midst of the heat, in the midst of the discipline, is to seek Him and say, God, do what needs to be done in my life through this. I don't know exactly why this is going on. And Lord, search out my heart. If I've got sin in my life, then expose it.
That's right.
And Lord, go down deep, because I know in all of us, there are some things that are down there pretty deep. And a lot of times to get those deep things out requires even more heat, even more difficulty. So I want to encourage those listening right now that are going through tremendous difficulty right now, and you don't know why, you are seeking the Lord and asking Him, know that His desire for you right now is to give you peace in the midst of the storm. So our peace is not the absence of the difficulties in our life. If only I could get out of this situation. It's peace. Our peace is the presence of God with us in the midst of the difficulty. And the heart's cry when I get into these difficult situations is say, God, do whatever needs to be done in my life. You know, hindsight is 20/20. When we get through the fire, when we get out of it, and God shows us what He accomplished in the process, you know, we say, praise God, thank You for doing that. Thank You for setting me free. Thank You for exposing this or healing me of this issue, or, you know, my marriage, my children, or whatever it may be. Thank You, Jesus, for doing that. But a lot of times we say, Lord, thank You for that, but I don't want to go through that again. That was really hard. So I just want to encourage those listening right now, the difficulty you are going through right now, God's, for many of you, God's designed a specific purpose to accomplish in this. In the end, it's for you to be free. It's for you to be whole. It's for you to be more like Him. So seek Him, not just to have relief or the change of your circumstances, but seek the Lord. Press in with everything that you have and allow Him to do what He's wanting to do right now. Because in the end, God will turn this adversity around for good, and you'll be more like Him.
There's a scripture that comes to my mind. It's John chapter 15, verse 2. It says, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit." And I believe that this is what He's trying to do in many of our lives right now. Let's say we're being fruitful for the Lord. Well, guess what? There's a purging coming. There's a pruning coming, that anything that's not bearing fruit and taking away from what can bear fruit is going to be purged, it's going to be pruned, because He wants more fruit. And we can never be so satisfied and sit, look back and rest on our laurels because we think we're doing a great job. He wants a better job. He's looking for more, like you mentioned a moment ago, to be more like Him. Because when you really look in His, in the light of Him, we are so far away from Him. I mean, a scripture that came to my mind a little while ago was a lot of what's happening right now, I believe, the judgment that's coming on many nations is the fruit of their living for themselves, that they have no concern for another human being. And I was thinking about that right now in America, one out of every two deaths, the number one leading cause of death is murder. But not just murder, but murder of the innocent. One out of every two deaths occurs because of abortion. And I'm thinking, how can God turn a blind eye continually to a nation that every two deaths that takes place is due to an abortion? And I'm thinking, you know, this is a little tiny baby inside of a womb. It's an innocent blood inside this, an innocent person inside this womb. And we don't even have enough love to love them. Well, let's go to the other extreme where Jesus talked about loving your enemies. He says, if you have heard, this is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, says, "You have heard that it has been said that you shall love your neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." So I'm thinking, this is the evidence of whether we're His children. And look how far we are as a people and as a nation have drifted away from being like Him. If we can't even love a little innocent child inside of a womb, how are we even going to love our enemies, love people that hate us, do good to them? It's we're so far from being like Him. This is just the extreme of how far we have fallen as a people and as a nation.
You know, the Bible says that judgment begins with the house of the Lord. And so, you know, what God is having me do is examine my own life. It's easy when we read these scriptures to think about somebody else, to think about, you know, well, it's that person, you know, rather than fix our eyes on ourselves and take responsibility for our own actions and what we've failed in, you know, as a person, as a church in our nation. Really, what it comes down to is that, you know, because of small choices daily in our life, that we choose ourselves rather than God, His way. We choose our way rather than His way, and allow compromise to come in a little bit of time here and there. For most Christians, that's the way it is. I mean, we see, you know, we most people have the testimony that, you know, I don't do these major sins that we're talking about. I haven't had an abortion or anything like that. But the reality is we've lost our witness as a church. We've become powerless because we have chosen to become like the world in so many ways that there's almost no difference looking at those who call themselves Christians between, you know, the world. And I'm not just talking about other people. I include myself in this because God is challenging me. And I think this is really the what we're talking about right now, is that God is raising the bar on those who truly know Him. And He's saying we may have gotten away with other things. Really, we haven't, but we may think we have, and we allow, you know, secret sin in our life, or we allow destructive ways of thinking or acting in our family, in our marriage,
with our children and our jobs. We've let compromise come in there here and there, because when we've been convicted, when we know the truth in our work, we don't stand up for the truth because we don't want to cause waves. We don't want to jeopardize our job, our retirement, our income, our way of life, so that we haven't stood up for the truth. And it's been many of those small things that add up to a great chasm, a great gap in the church as far as being able to be a witness for the Lord. And it's not just one people, it's all of us that have compromised over time, and some more than others. And I think God is saying it's time to step up to the plate, right? Because the days ahead, you know, we talk about the judgment that's coming, we talk about the darkness that's coming, but I tell you right now, there's a glorious side to what we're talking about. For many of us, we're getting ready to walk into the very thing that God has created us for, our calling to serve Him for such a time as this. We were born in this time for a reason and for a purpose. It's not by accident. God is preparing us to serve Him, to be a witness. He's preparing a bride that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish, because He's coming back soon. And He wants to use those who know Him. He wants to use us in a mighty way. So there's a refining going on. There's a preparation because of the great harvest that's going to happen on this earth before He returns. And I believe that's another reason why he's saying, okay, it's time to step up to the plate. You know, if you really, it's not what we say, it's what we do. I can put my facade in front on and say all the right words at church or around other Christians, but if my life does not demonstrate the truth, if I'm not walking out the truth in my life, being a doer of the word, then it really doesn't matter what I say. It matters what I do. That's the truth. It's not what we say, it's what we do. So I think what He's desiring is that our life matches up with the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is His word. So that's what we have to compare our lives with, is what does God's word say, and how does my life measure up against the truth, against His word?
Well, this is how we all have to really examine ourselves, is to the light of the truth. And this is where it's the most difficult thing, is that if you don't know the truth, how can you, it's like you don't have the right measuring stick. You want to measure a yard and your measuring stick is only, you know, 15 inches long. How are you going to measure up to the actual where He wants us to go with our life? We'll fall short if what we realize, what He's asking out of us, is far greater than what we have given Him so far. You know, He says that I am holy, you know, and He's expecting holiness from His people too. Well, what does that look like? Does it mean that you're just a little bit better than the guy that's down the street? You know, well, at least I don't do this. You know, we got to quit comparing ourselves with people, because that's like the short measuring stick, 15 inches long versus 36. So we got to measure all the way up to His holiness, His righteousness, His standards, to love our enemies, to do good to that persecute us. And I mean, it's that extreme is almost like beyond even comprehension of what He really wants out of us. And when we realize what He's asking out of us is so much greater than what everybody else is showing. You know, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I heard the Lord say to me, He said, I'm calling you to a holy and righteous walk before Me. And I just kind of scoffed, you know. I said, well, who's living it? And He said to me, He said, if nobody else lives it, I'm calling you to live it. And He threw my excuse book in the flames at that moment. I had nothing in my hands. I had no excuse. I could point the blame on anybody else. I had to do exactly what He was telling me to do. And He began to show me things. He said, the greatest heavenly followers become the greatest earthly leaders. And if you follow Me, if you follow man, you can only go where man's been before. If you follow Me, I'll take you where no man's been before. And He's looking for pioneers right now in the Spirit. He's looking for pioneers that will quit following a man in his footsteps and follow the Lord's footsteps and let Him take us someplace that nobody else is willing to go in our walk. And this is the people He's looking for right now to use. He's looking for somebody He can say, this is My son, this is My daughter, this is whom I'm well pleased. You know, John said that the world would know that we were His by our love that we have one for another. Where's that love right now? Where's that love demonstrated? Do we really love our neighbor as ourselves? I would have to say no. We live in a very selfish, self-centered society that everybody's more concerned about their own well-being than anybody else's. And I'm realizing now the whole key if you want to be great, you start being a servant. You find out where you can serve, where people's needs are. You'll never be bored with life. There's always somebody to help. There's always somebody in need that you can help. But our problem is that's the last thing we want to do is help somebody else when we got so many things we want to do for ourselves.
You know, I think that's right. That's exactly right. And I think it starts actually in our home. It starts with loving our husband, our wife. It starts with loving our children. And, you know, especially as men, we're called to be the spiritual leaders of our home. And how often, you know, are a husband and wife divided and they treat each other like enemies? And we can't even, you know, the Bible says love our enemies. And we can't even love, you know, our wife, our husband. We can't even demonstrate that. We can't deny ourselves and humble ourselves and, you know, and get our marriage in order, get our family in order. So I think, you know, the serving, you know, the husband is called to be a servant leader. I think that serving begins with our wife and our children. And then from there, it flows out. I think, I really believe, and that's the other thing I believe that what God is doing with a lot of people right now is he's getting things in order. He's setting their lives in order, their homes in order. Because I'll tell you right now, if we can't function when in peace, if we can't function when things are going easy, when we're not facing any trials or difficulty, if we can't make the right decisions and love and demonstrate love and serve and have our life line up with God's word, if we can't do it then, how are we going to do it in the time of testing? How are we going to do it in the time of adversity? How are we going to do it when God is saying, I want to use you and I've got a calling for you, but I can't because your life is not in order? So I think a lot of what we're seeing, God is setting homes in order. He's dealing with the hearts of the men. Because I tell you right now, when the father, when he gets a vision of his calling and his responsibility in God's word, and he chooses to have the courage to step up to the plate and face the difficulty head on and not try to run from it or hide from it or allow his wife to take the burden that she's not designed to carry. When we have the courage to step up and do the difficult things, I tell you, this is the true measure of a man in this world today, right now, is what I'm talking about. It's not if you can go out and make money. It's not if you can go out and be successful in your job or whatever you're doing. It's can you go home and can you be successful as a husband? Can you be successful as a father the way that God measures success, not the way man measures success? And I tell you right now, it takes courage. It's going to take courage for men to face this and step up and take responsibility and do the difficult things. But in the end, you're gonna have something that's uncommon in the world today, and that's a godly marriage, a godly home that's in order. And when you are in that place, God can use you mightily today.
Well, that seems to be the foundation. You know, if our homes, I mean, the letters of Paul said that you know, if we can't even have our own home in order, how can we take care of the household of God if our own home is out of order? So, you know, many people don't know what goes on behind closed doors, what goes on in our children's lives. A lot of that's concealed, but God's trying to look for faithfulness. He's looking for faithfulness for the husband, looking faithfulness in the wife, looking for faithfulness in the children. And it's all led by example. Like you just mentioned, servant leader. You know, you have to be the example. We all have to be the example to our children. You know, you're a father of 10 children. I'm a father of 8. So, you know, there's all sorts of trials and things that go on in a life with a large family, with all the mixing of different personalities. And all this has to be blended in with love. And when the love's not there, there's nothing, there's no glue, so to speak, to hold the pieces, because the enemy's always trying to divide the pieces and cast them off, and love is the only thing that will hold this thing together.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the other things that I see happening right now in the body of Christ, God is challenging many people, especially in America, all over the world, but, you know, especially in America where I've come from. He's calling people to begin to take stands for the truth. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the preparation that a refining and the discipline and all these things that we've been going through over the years is preparing for us to stand for the truth, to stand up and to be obedient, to obey God rather than man, and to obey God's word and be willing to pay a price for it. I think a lot of the compromise that we've talked about that's occurred in our marriage, in our family and jobs has been through not standing on the truth and be willing to pay a price for it, and failing to have the courage to face the difficult things. Because I tell you right now, and I know this from personal experience, when you take a stand, you're going to pay a price. And so I really see that God is wanting to equip and train and discipline and prepare the body of Christ, because in the days ahead, it's going to be required that not only taking a stand in even the small things, but they're going to be larger things that are going to be a lot more costly. There's going to be a higher price involved. So I see a preparation, a training, and equipping because of the days we're coming into. But then also in that taking a stand, there's going to be a great opportunity in that stand to be a witness, a mighty That's witness right. for God.
That's right. And this stand that what Eric is mentioning right now, we don't know how great that stand will be. It could be just like many of the Christians are having to deal with in Iraq or in Syria, and it's very difficult right now because, you know, if you're a Christian, you're pretty much got a bullseye on you, and that persecution is not going away. It's increasing, and you're going to see it happen in the Western nations. It's coming. So are we being prepared right now to not, how we deal with the little things? If we can't stand up for a little truth that you're praying at the table in a cafeteria at the place of business where you work, and you're too afraid for someone to see you praying, how are you going to stand up and not deny the Lord if a sword is coming your way? These are little trials right now. If we cannot stand up for the little standing up for truth that you just mentioned, how are we going to stand up for the big T, capital truth, when we're asked to deny that truth? And this is where right now the strengthening must begin today. You must begin to strengthen yourself today in order to endure what's coming down the road. Because if you cannot endure the little trials right now, when the big trial's on, it's not going to go well.
And you know, it's like the question is how do I prepare myself? How do I, prepare for what's coming ahead? And this is what I've learned in everything. The Lord gives us a choice. Are we willing to trust Him rather than our own understanding? Are we willing to give up our rights? Are we willing to yield and surrender to Him so that He can accomplish His will in our life? And I think it comes down to God won't ever force us to choose Him or make the decision. We have to choose ourselves to do that. When we do, then God can begin the work He wants to do.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, the website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.